Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back. Now we are about to pray together as a little family. That's what we're going to do. We're going to character form each other through prayer here this morning on Archangel Radio. At this time of the day, 9 a.m. Central, we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And if you're listening to the radio, you're praying with us. And each day I'm accompanied in this little radio apostolate by a prayer warrior, somebody who takes the time to come into the studio or down the line and they pray with me. So let's find out today, who is our prayer warrior?
In the studio today, Kevin, we have Mr. Mike Romano with us.
Mr. Mike Romano, I don't think I've ever met him. that Mike Romano. Mike, how are you doing?
I am doing well. I'm better now that I'm joined with you for the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
So listen, are you still on strike? Are you part of this Hollywood strike still?
While I'm not on the front lines physically, I'm there with them mentally, emotionally, spiritually.
Oh, wow. Well, that should help them all.
Yes.
And you have been very busy recently with LA Catholic Morning. I mean, how do you do it, Mike? How do you keep going? What's the secret for early morning, such early morning radio?
You know, it's self-discipline. Kevin, self-discipline. I typically get up between 4:30. Try to some mornings I'll go to 5, but get up, run, work out, get the juices going, and get ready for work.
So you do work out before you even come to work at that time in the morning?
I do.
Wow.
When
wow.
it was freezing during the winter, you were still jogging and then coming in.
Yeah.
Like Rocky.
Sweatsuit and all. Hey, gotta do what I gotta do, stay around.
Now, Mike, I do know that you are a father of a very loving brood of children, but were you listening, or maybe you didn't catch it, I know you're busy with other chores, but we just had Dr. Thomas Ligona on talking about character formation, how essential that is for children. I'm sure you'd agree with him that one of the greatest character building blocks that he was proposing was one of kindness. And I'm sure in the Romano family, that is the kind of overarching principle between the children, between the parents and the children, and indeed between the parents.
We do our best.
That's all you can do.
I try to be the best model of that for my kids, and sometimes they don't always follow it, but like I said, I do the best I can do.
So. Absolutely. I'm thinking that we should start being kind to each other on this show. What do you reckon?
That's a good start, Kevin. You be kind to me, I'll be kind to you, okay? Everybody just gets along.
I'm going to have to build up to it, though, Mike. Do you know what I mean? Don't rush me on this.
You're a method actor when it comes to kindness. You gotta get into it. Do charitable acts.
Oh dear. Well, listen, we're going to have to get into some prayer here now. Now, listen, we've got Mike Romano on the job, so if you want Mike and me to pray for you, there's two ways you can invite us to do so. You can call the show on 888-928-0881. Reed, are we sure the telephone lines are open and working?
Yes, they are working, Kevin.
Okay, that's great. And if anybody wants to text in, they can text me direct on 251-928-2111. And Mike, me, and Reed, I mean, come on. It's like a superheroes, the Avengers or something. Do you know what I mean? We are going to take your problems, and we are going to apply the divine mercy, and you never know what's going to happen.
It's the dream team.
I wouldn't go that far, but it's close. It's close. It might be a nightmare team for some people. If we don't get started. Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mike. That is us up and running. So for this first decade, who or what would you like us to pray for?
First, I'd like to pray for all the students, teachers, faculty, those who are getting ready to go back to school, that it will be a fruitful year for them all. Lots of learning will get done. Lots of kindness will be shared each and every single day in the classroom. And I also pray especially, you know, St. Michael Catholic High School got a new principal, Andrea Williamson, who we had on the show last Friday. Mm-hmm. And so I want to pray for her as she begins a new era of at St. Michael Catholic High School. I just pray that she will be blessed, and she will be a blessing, I know, to the to that school and for all the teachers there.
I've been listening to those wonderful ads for the football season. Shall we pray that everybody
yes.
survives the football season? There aren't any injuries, broken limbs, severed parts of the body?
That was going to be my next prayer intention, Kevin.
Mike didn't tell me any of that was part of the post-game and pre-game show that we would be doing.
You spoiled it. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, we can come back to that. We'll come back to the football in a moment. So, no, I think that's really important. All the students and teachers across the Archdiocese will pray for them. And, yes, let's pray for an outbreak of kindness in the classroom. That's a wonderful contagion that we could do with. I don't remember much kindness in my classrooms, but that was a whole different ball game and a different time.
Well,
okay, let's lift up.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mike?
No, I was just going to say, as my mom always says, when you're kind, you heap hot coals upon people's heads.
Yes. Know? Sometimes it worked the other way. When I was kind, they seemed to be putting the coals all on my head, but that's another story. Okay, let's lift all of these children and their teachers up at this time as we say, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Mike. Now, we've had a text in from Joe, who's listening to us in the Birmingham area, so Birmingham, Alabama. So good morning to you, Joe. And Joe is asking for prayers for his family, and we're very happy to do that. But he's also got a supplementary intention, which is very important. He's asking for good priests to rise up and to defend the truth. So, Joe, we are very, very happy to pray for that. We'll pray for your family and for many good priests to rise up and defend the truth. And while we're at it, let's pray for all the priests in the Archdiocese of Mobile today, and also for the Archbishop at this time. Let's pray that they will all rejoice in the greatness of their vocation to the sacramental priesthood, to the ministry of the Eucharist, and all that comes and flows from the Mass and the sacraments. Let's pray for good and holy shepherds in each of our parishes.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Mike. Okay, this third decade, we return to you, Mike. Who or what would you like to pray? Obviously, you're praying for all the medical teams that are standing on the touchline.
Yes, you know, speaking of medical teams, you know, my wife Jen gets her her port taken out of her chest area on Monday. So I pray for all of those. I pray for all the doctors who you know are working with cancer patients, and all the cancer patients likewise. I pray for my family, especially Jen, that she'll continue to be in remission with her cancer. Pray for Donnie, Jordan, Stella, as they begin a new school year. You know, they're homeschooled, and I pray for Jen, who's is helping in that homeschooling, who's leading the charge there. Pray that the Lord will give her, and myself included, the fruits of the Spirit, that they will, you know, blossom as a bouquet, as they do: love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We will exhibit those in our family at all times, especially myself. You know, I need to grow. I'm a broken man, a broken vessel. I pray that God will continue to work on me and my conversion and my walk with Christ. It's a daily grind, and so I just pray that I will persist in that grind, and one day, along with my family, get to see the fruits of my work, of our work. And that God will help me be the husband and father that he needs me to be. Because Lord, I need it. I need it.
Amen. And may the joy of the Holy Spirit also enter into this, Mike. May it become a joyful crusade for manliness within your family. And, you know, the Holy Spirit, it will bring you all together and bond you all together in the most beautiful way, loving way. So let's lift up this little family to the Lord. Let's ask the divine mercy to very much come close to the Romano family today. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Mike. Now, for this fourth decade, first of all, I'd like to pray for Dr. Thomas Laguna, who we just spoke to in the last segment. His work is very, very important, working with families, and his books and his lectures, and he's all over YouTube as well, if you go and look. And what he's trying to do is build up the character of young people and turn them into the best sort of people that they could possibly be, and that's a very good initiative, something very close to our hearts and very close to the gospel. One of the early church fathers said that man is truly alive when he comes into being the true son of God that he is called to. So we want to be truly alive. We want all our children to be truly alive and also their parents. So let's pray for that today. Let's pray for his work. Let's pray that some of the evils in societies will be pushed back and the children will be allowed to be children and to grow in the best way possible. Now, just on that subject, I have an anonymous text in from a mother who is having problems with her son, and we've been praying for this mother all week. We continue to pray for the mother, pray for the son, and we ask our Holy Mother, the entire of Knots, to step into this situation and to help to bring everybody back together again in whatever way best suits. Now, talking of mothers and talking of what we were on about earlier, I asked the question, what is this month or who is this month dedicated to? And we have an answer. Jim C. texted in with the correct answer, which is August is dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So your prize, Jim C., is that you are included in this fourth decade. We will pray for you and your wife and your intentions at this time. And then finally, I'd like to pray for all those people who decided that it was a good idea that this show should be consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, or sorry, to the Sacred Heart of Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So that was David, Jim C., Chuck, Lee, Mary, Amal, Marguerite, Louise, Kay, Kirsten, Mary T, that is, and Anonymous. Thank you so much for your stepping forward in that. So we're going to pray for that. We're going to pray that that consecration really does take place. And what it will do, I have no idea, but it sounds like a good idea. As that old gentleman said to me, Kevin, I'll have whatever's going. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Mike. Now, we've come to the fifth and final decade, and I will come back to you in a moment, Mike, so if there's anybody or anything else that you want to pray for. But before we do so, let's turn to Reed. Reed, anyone or anything you would like us to include in this fifth and final decade?
Yes, Gavin. I would love to pray for all the people who attend the Spanish Mass at St. Patrick's and anywhere else in the diocese where there's a Mass that isn't said in English. I would love to pray for all the people who attend those, and I would love to pray that we all become a tighter-knit community despite possible language barriers.
Yes, the clue is in the word Catholic. We are universal. We have many different languages, many different rites even. People worship in different ways, Latin, English, but there's a whole battery of other languages that the Catholic Church worships in. So, yes, absolutely. Anybody whose language is not, first language is not English, we're praying for you today. Okay, Mike, final word to you.
Just a special prayer intention. I recently reached out to a guy I know who's a big producer in Hollywood about looking into possibly producing a story about this book that I narrated a few years ago that I think would make a great film. It's called Me, Boo, and the Goob: A Southern Adventure. And so, I told him I sent him the link and to the audiobook that I narrated, and hopefully he'll pray that he'll enjoy it and maybe consider turning it into a film. So
that sounds really exciting, Mike.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's a long shot, but you got to take the shot anyway. So
absolutely. Well, look, I hope Mr. Spielberg gets back to you.
All right.
Sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have said that on air. Forgive me, Mike. Well, whoever the big shot Hollywood producer is, we pray that his guardian angel.
His name is David
Permit
of Permit Presentations. Actually, he did Hacksaw Ridge and whatnot. So.
Oh, right. Well, we'll pray for David. Let's pray for him. Absolutely. That's a great company. And we'll pray. Why not? We'll ask his holy angel to sort of push him a little bit towards the script and the idea. And why not? Would you be acting in this, Mike? It's in some way.
I don't know what role I would play in it. I mean, it'd be nice. I'm totally fine with it. But I think it's a great regardless of what role I play. I mean, if I play any role at all, I think it's a story that needs to be told.
Amen. Amen. Well, we need these things, so let's pray for them. And we're coming off the back of some wonderful Hollywood adventures with The Sound of Freedom, Nefarious, and other movies. So why not this one? I'm sure it will build up the kingdom. So let's pray for it. Let's pray for David. Let's pray for you as well, Mike. All your voice overwork, your voice artist work is very, very important. It's a great gift. It's a great gift to have so many voices. Amen. I'm stuck with this one.
It's a great one as well.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Mike, thank you so much for taking time out. I know you're extremely busy every single day at Archangel, so it's wonderful that you can take time out and come on air and pray with us.
Man, it's an honor and a privilege.
Well, I better let you get back, because you never know, there might have been a call through from Hollywood while we were on air.
Right, yeah.
You never know. We live in hope. We are children of hope.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you.
Now, listen, when we come back, we are going to be crossing to Lisbon, Portugal. That's right. We are going to be speaking to a friend of mine, Ivo Bender, who is the European head of EWTN, and he just happens to be attending the World Youth Day. He phoned me last night, and I said, oh, this is great. Maybe you can come on the show. So we're hoping to be able to connect with him and hear what it's like on the ground out there in Portugal. So if you want to hear that, stay tuned to the 30 Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Kids who are in Lisbon, they are certainly all right, because that what is taking place there is a very large gathering of young Catholics. That's right. World Youth Day is underway, and we are crossing there today to speak to Ivo Bender, EWTN's European Supremo, who is speaking to us live from Lisbon. Ivo, welcome to the Telefrequency.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Kevin, for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor.
Now, listen, I want you to do me a favor, Ivo. I mean, many people listening to this won't have been to a World Youth Day. And I want you to paint a picture of what it would be like if suddenly somebody had got on a plane from the United States and flown to Lisbon, got off the plane, out of the airport, headed into the center of Lisbon. What would they see? What would they find?
Well, let me start with the with stating the quite interesting fact that about 20,000 Americans, young Americans mostly, did that.
Yes.
That's actually a very large group here, and a very visible one. So what? What happens when you land? Well, it's a beautiful city. So when you're flying towards the airport, you see the easternmost part of the Atlantic. You see the gorgeous city of Lisbon. You land fairly close to the center. The airport is probably about 3 miles from the city center. Mm-hmm. So you get a glimpse of the historic, gorgeous, beautifully laid out city. You know, it has the Atlantic. It has hills surrounding it. It has the great river Tag that flows into the ocean there. And when you land, well, you obviously see numerous groups, smaller, bigger, from literally every corner of this planet, who converged on Lisbon and are converging on Lisbon as we speak. So I must say that when I landed on Sunday, we had to wait half an hour on the tarmac before we were allowed to disembark the plane, because, well, there was a problem with getting us to the gate, because the gates were so busy. And then I had to wait an hour for my bag to appear. Well, again, because the airport was just buzzing with groups of young Catholics from literally all over the world. You had the that is the first sort of taste of what's to come once you leave the airport and move towards the city center.
That is a wonderful preamble to the main event. That's a wonderful sort of painting of the scene there, Ivo, of what it's like to arrive and the unexpectedness of the sheer number of people at a World Youth Day. I mean, this is something I was talking about this during the first part of the show. We were, whatever the official estimates, whatever the official registration, be it 400,000 or whatever, there's always another few hundred thousand that end up coming. And I know the figure for the mass on Sunday is reckoned to be around about 1 million. That's probably an underestimate as well. Don't you agree? There's something about the numbers which is very hard to understand unless you're in the middle of it.
Exactly. So yes, you have to go through a registration process in order to, you know, to receive your pilgrims' packets. You know, that includes a small lightweight backpack and your rosary and your white hat, because this is a very sunny city, so you have to protect your head from a heat stroke, and you get your water bottle, and that's your pilgrim's package, and it does require a bit of bureaucracy. So I guess more free-spirited people forego that process and don't get to have that this backpack and the hat and the rosary, and they still come, and of course they're more than welcome. So yes, this is very typical of all the World Youth Days. With time, they become better and better organized. I remember my first one was, oh my goodness, in 91 in Częstochowa in Poland. And let's put it this way, all those bureaucratic barriers were much lower than they are today.
Yes.
But still, yes, the standard 1 million or 2 million people is something you should not be surprised by. And somehow the city manages not only to accommodate all these pilgrims, young and old, by the way, lay and religious, but also somehow manages to greet them with a big smile. There are thousands of policemen here providing security and guidance and et cetera, and I have come across so far there's one grumpy policeman. Otherwise, they always greet you with a smile and help you. So yes, the city of Lisbon and the wonderful people of Portugal are extremely welcoming. So it's a phenomenon. It truly is a phenomenon.
It is.
The city, suddenly the average age suddenly drops by a good 25 years.
Yes, I mean, I was just going to ask you about that, because my first World Youth Day was Paris back in 97. And even a very avowedly secular city like Paris was transformed by the ultimately 1 million or so pilgrims who turned up. The city suddenly became youthful. It became full of joy and happiness and song and hymn and rosaries being prayed on the underground. Is Lisbon being similarly transformed into this wonderful praying nucleus?
Certainly. The typical thing that you see during the World Youth Day in any city that it happens to be organized in is those groups of people with their national flags, you know, marching and singing, you know, here we have the French, here we have the Argentinians, you know, there are people from, especially in Lisbon being the old, you know, colonial power, people from Brazil, from Mozambique, from Angola, places that still use the Portuguese as their official language, because let us not forget, Portugal is a relatively small country, but probably there are some 200 million people around the world speaking this language outside of Europe. When you travel through the city, which is, by the way, one of the most gorgeous cities in the world, you encounter those groups. For instance, last night I was passing by the cathedral, and the the magnificent staircase, sort of stairs leading to the cathedral, were filled by the French, who were singing and praying in French. And actually, interestingly, there are over 40,000 French people in Lisbon. So those who say that the oldest daughter of the church has lost faith, well, they should come to Lisbon and see for themselves. There are plenty of young French, teenagers, young men and women, but also a lot of very young priests somehow managing to wear their, cassocks or habits in Fahrenheit. It's probably, anywhere between 95 and 100 degrees usually here. So it's a sight to behold. And then you have those amazing moments, because a lot of national groups have their own little areas where they congregate. And for instance, last night, the place where the Polish pilgrims had their own program or meeting with a newly minted cardinal from Poland, Cardinal Rysz, suddenly they were quote-unquote invaded by about 1,000 Mexicans who decided to join the Poles. And suddenly you had a Polish-Mexican fiesta and a Polish-Mexican mass and prayer. So these are unforgettable. Absolutely. Unforgettable moments, and they remain in people's minds for a long time. And a lot of people say that in their lives, their particular World Youth Day, when they were young, be it Denver, what was it, 1993, I believe, or Krakow or Panama more recently, were a pivotal moment in their life of faith.
Absolutely. No, this is a story which is, I'm afraid, so common as to be commonplace that people's lives are radically changed. So we were working out before you came on air, Ivo, because you probably know or you've heard of this Reconciliation Park that has been set up in the center of Lisbon. So it's a place where people can go and go to confession. And there are 2,600 priests and 150 confessionals that are going full pelt from August 4th through to August 1st to August 4th. And we reckon that 150 confessionals with 5-minute turnarounds, which is quite slow for a confession, right? We reckon that with all the unofficial confessions as well that were taking place outside of the Reconciliation Park, we would easily hit 1 million confessions during this time period, which, if there was no other fruit from World Youth Day, would be enough if there were 1 million confessions heard in these 4 days.
Well, exactly. So, yes. And so this is what happens when you count this sort of official flow in that particular area. But, just to give you a little glimpse, that was Sunday night or Monday night? I was walking in this sort of central part of Lisbon, which has this magnificent sort of building that opens into the Atlantic, into the west, because it's this imperial part of the of old Lisbon, and there are crowds of people from all nations. And literally, as I was walking there, I just looked to the side, and right on this sort of Oceanside Boulevard, there was a group, I think again from France, and I see that there is one girl who is slightly separated from the group that waits next to her, mm-hmm. and she's confessing.
Wow. There's
a priest there right in the middle. There are people dancing, 100 yards away, and suddenly you have this moment. It was probably 10 p.m., so yes, this is certainly one obvious non-tangible, but way more important fruit of it. But also, the opening mass, it was several hundred thousand people, and I could not count how many people were giving communion at that moment. So, and interestingly also, you know, it's a very loud crowd in general, but during Mass and during the moment of transubstantiation, this entire field fell silent. And wow. This silence was heard louder, especially because if you compare it or contrast it with the usual clamor and noise that is the typical companion of the World Youth Day. So the kids, they know how to behave. Okay.
Excellent. Now I've got a question for you. I asked our audience, I haven't had a response yet, but every single country in the world is represented at World Youth Day except one. Do you know what it is, Ivo?
A good question. I have no idea.
It's Poland. No, it's not. Ivo is Polish. No, it's not Poland. It is the Maldives. The Maldives is the smallest Asian country in the world with a population of fewer than 400,000 people. And unfortunately, there isn't one Catholic who was able to get to World Youth Day. Otherwise, every single country in the world would be represented there, which is quite an achievement in itself, right?
Amazing. Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. You know, I thought I knew. I was pretty good at recognizing national flags, and some of them did have me perplexed, and I had to to inquire as to which country was represented. So, yes, I guess we should do something about the Maldives next time around, you know, send a special envoy and recruit.
I think you need to have a word with the EWTN affiliate in the Maldives and find out what's going on there. Now, Portugal, for many of us, is synonymous with the apparitions at Fatima in 1917. And Our Lady are certainly the seers, Jacinta and Lucia, Francesco and Jacinta are two of the patrons of this wonderful event, World Youth Day. Do you see any, there's been a lot made of a lot of the problems around World Youth Day, and we know all about that, but do you see in a way a kind of Marian spirit coming out in some ways, in an intangible way, that Our Lady of Fatima is somehow praying with and guiding these young souls?
Well, certainly, you know, the Holy Father will be in Fatima on Saturday, and we have had a lot of pilgrims groups who went to Fatima first and to Lisbon second, and I understand that also from, I haven't been there yet on this trip to Portugal. I plan to go there hopefully in 2 days, but yes, I have seen pictures and footage from Fatima, which was full of young people. It usually is full of people, but this time you could see the over representation of the of this particular type of pilgrims. And yes, you see Our Lady's face on flags that people are carrying. You see some mentioning of Fatima also on various banners that the young people are carrying. So, and it's just obvious. You do not need to say anything. We are in the country of Fatima. We are in the country of one of the two most well known and probably the most pivotal Marian apparitions, certainly since the early 20th century, and with consequences which are stretched till today. And in a sense, this day is also a certain triumph for Fatima, because let us not forget that when things were happening in this remote mountain village back in the early 20th century, it was the country was going through a lot of persecution of Catholics, and it is still very much a country that is torn in two, in which there are, you know, there is a very strong Catholic tradition dating back really to the 5th century. That's where the Diocese of Lisbon was founded, and then it's juxtaposed with a very strong anti-Catholic fervor. But today, I would say that you can clearly see Portugal is a Catholic and a Marian country. That is
absolutely
visible, not just in the spirit of the people, but you know, also if you just walk through Lisbon, you know, and you have this tradition of finishing, you know, houses by placing tiles. They're tiled, like, you know, sort of like almost like basalt tiles instead of, you know, siding. And very often these tiles are covered with religious imagery. You know, there's a lot of tiles with Saint Anthony, who was born in Portugal, and the Portuguese
right.
remember that. And of course, also a lot of them carry an image of Our Lady. So at every corner here in Lisbon, you are reminded of the Christian heritage of this great city.
Okay, if anybody has a question for Ivo, you can always phone in on 888-928-0881 or text me on 251-928-2111. Somebody's texted me, Ivo, and is saying, does any actual policies or programs come out of World Youth Day? I guess what they're asking really is, okay, this is a great party. This is a kind of a wonderful event for young people. They have a wonderful time. But what happens next?
Well, what happens here at first is the each new generation of young people come to a World Youth Day with their particular understanding of what Catholicism is. Sometimes they come from Catholic countries. Sometimes they come from a country in which Catholics are a very small minority. And here they experience what the word Catholic actually means: global, universal. So you immediately feel, in almost a visceral way, the unity in diversity of the Catholic Church. Whether you are from Europe, Africa, the Americas, Asia, Australia, you belong, and you meet your brothers and sisters. And this is something that you take with you, and you will never forget it till the end, because this is a visible and palpable experience of Catholicism, of the universality of the Catholic Church, it is, you know, when we say that we believe in one holy apostolic Catholic Church, well, that's one thing, it makes it much more easy to understand what we mean when we say these words every day, when we actually experience it for ourselves and we see it. We actually see it in action. So this is what people definitely take back when they go back to their countries.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, Ivo, and I would go further and say that perhaps it's the lack of policies or programs that emanate from these gatherings, which is because the Holy Spirit is working. It's one huge project, which is one of sanctification of young people, right?
Exactly, and in a sense, thank God we don't have any, you know, working groups and committees.
That would be the death of it. That would be the death of it. So listen, we're coming up against
exactly.
the clock here, Ivo. Talk to us a little bit about what's happening now this evening in Lisbon, and then what's happening tomorrow, and how it runs at the weekend. Just give us a rough idea of the timetable.
Okay, very, very quickly. So we had the opening mass the other night. It all started with different groups visiting different parishes across the country, and then converging mostly yesterday and today on Lisbon. We will have a big prayer gathering today at around 5:30, I believe, local time, and also we will have, as I mentioned, on Saturday, a great moment when the pontiff goes to Fatima, and then the last vigil is Sunday in a different venue, a much larger venue, and this is the time where we can expect, well, probably well over 1 million people gathering, and that will be the crescendo, on Sunday night.
And we were talking about different ways in which people are being billeted with families and that sort of thing. Are you staying with a Portuguese family, or perhaps because it's EWTN, you're in a 5-star hotel? Which is it?
Well, it is not a 5-star hotel, but it is a hotel, and it has a.
It's a very good hotel. It's a very good hotel. I would know that.
Within. It's a decent hotel, but most of my time I spend at the press center at the end at the park named after King Edward VII, where the press center and most of the prayers and celebrations are held. So, unfortunately, I'm not with the family, but I can tell you that, for instance, EWTN Poland team is staying in a village outside of Lisbon, and it's almost like a family home, because there is a small hotel where they're staying. Next door to it is the small parish church. Next door to it is the very tiny town hall, and the entire market square of this village is the size of a basketball field. And and they have already experienced incredible hospitality of the local owner of the restaurant, of the local parish priest, and I understand that this is just the beginning, and this particular Portuguese Polish friendship will definitely last for decades.
That's the true spirit of World Youth Day, just there in that lovely vignette you've shared with us. Just very briefly, I know this is a little bit inside baseball, but what's the atmosphere like in the press center with the other journalists, with your colleagues, some of my colleagues from the National Catholic Register? You're all still on speaking terms with each other?
Mostly, yes. No, but more than that.
I'm only joking. It's a great team. But there are 5,000 journalists there, Ivo. That means there's an awful lot of rushing to try to recharge your batteries and your laptops and all the usual stuff that you get at these events.
Yes, but I have actually to give kudos to the organizers. The press center is organized almost flawlessly. It's run very efficiently. There are plenty of, the sort of what you call them, hot desks, where you can sit, mm-hmm. plug in your laptop or your phone and do your work. There are several teams from EWTN. There is, of course, the U.S. team, the Spanish team, the German team, the Dutch team, the Polish team. So, yes, it's and of course, journalists. From around the world, and it's actually a good moment to meet journalists from literally all the countries in the world, and it works beautifully well. I don't want to sound too enthusiastic, but yeah, it's the reflection of the atmosphere and the spirit of the World Youth Day here.
That's great. Well, listen, Ivo, thank you so much for taking the time out. One last request, and that is that if you do make it to Fatima, you'll pray for everybody here at Archangel Radio, all our listeners and everybody working on this. Oh, that would be great. Okay, listen, that was Ivo Bender, who is the head of all that is European with EWTN. Ivo, thank you so much for your time, and come back and speak to us again in the near future.
Thank you, Kevin.
Okay. That was Ivo, straight and live from Lisbon in Portugal, where we have World Youth Day. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us.
All right, Kevin, coming to the end of the week, I really think we've had a great week on the Turley Frequency.
It just keeps building, doesn't it? Don't you see the themes that are emerging this week? It's all about young people, right?
Yes, it is all about young people.
I don't know why I'm on this show.
Even younger than me, though. I mean, really.
They are. They're all younger than you. That's right. They're still in their diapers, some of these.
Well, what do we have for Friday?
Well, tomorrow we are meeting our friend, Father Darren Marlino, who is a media missionary out in California, and he will be talking to us all about creativity and spirituality.
Okay, great. That'll be a good way for the young people to use their talents. You can learn how to use your talents in that segment. That'll be great.
That's right. And I like the way you said that to me as well, that I could learn how to use my talents. Thank you. Thank you, Reid. Okay, listen, I hope you've enjoyed listening to us today. We've enjoyed very much serving you here on the Good Ship Archangel Radio. And if so, let's do it all again tomorrow. Same time, same frequency, same me, same Reid, same show, same music. You know the drill. But in the meantime, may St. Joseph watch over you and all those you love. And until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you.